This past weekend, I ventured just south of town to Chanticleer Farm, where, on a simple stage next to a quiet pond, the Chanticleer String Quartet performed a concert. It was a good crowd that had gathered their blankets, chairs, and picnic supplies for a lovely afternoon amid rustling trees under a deep blue summer sky, and the whole experience stood out to me as an unusual and wonderful cultural find in the Richmond area. This classical concert is just the first musical event happening at Chanticleer Farm this August. Prophets Fest, a much more extensive festival that's now in its seventh year, will be taking place in the same great setting in just a few weeks. It draws people from several states around for a mix of reggae, funk, world music, electronic, jazz, and other kinds of sound. I sat down with Nick Green, one of the Prophets Fest organizers, to talk about why the event exists, what you might expect if you go, and what it's like to put together this unusual local offering in a place like Richmond, Indiana. Well, Nick, thanks for joining me here on the Richmond Matters blog. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be a part of this.
So, Prophets Fest is coming up August 22nd. And we're here to talk about it. It's been going on for 7 years now, which I know a lot of people probably would be surprised to hear. But tell us a little bit about the history of it, like what it is, how it came to be, and why you are doing this thing called Prophets Fest.
Prophets Fest is an event that has been going on for a little while. It was started by my brother and myself, my brother Aaron. And we grew up in Richmond. And we're teenagers at one point in Richmond and adults. I went to Earlham as well. And we often bemoaned the fact that there was nothing going on in Richmond. And so as adults, we thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool to make something happen in our hometown? I spent the last 15 years or so in Portland, Oregon, and just moved back here within the last year and a half or so. But when we were out on the West Coast, we started flying, basically paying and flying our band back here to throw this event out on our family property.
Now, Prophets Fest is happening at a place called Chanticleer Farm. Am I saying that right? Chanticleer Farm?
Yeah, Chanticleer Farm, yeah.
And it sounds like a pretty like special place, and it's just south of town. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the farm, what it is, and how it came to be the place that you hold the event?
Okay, yeah, the property is a gorgeous bucolic pastoral Indiana property, aka there's lots of corn, and
nice.
There is a nice little pond around which people can camp, and we have a stage set up on one side. The property itself is actually owned by our extended family. Mm. So, we sort of have this privilege of being able to throw, the event out on our own property, really. And our mother, actually, this is her 39th year, I believe, hosting the Chanticleer String Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
Which also performs on the property on an annual basis.
That's awesome. So when you were growing up on this property, I mean, was it talked about as like a venue for events like this? Or is that something that like someone one day had to say like, oh, like guess what we could do here? Or like kind of imagine it out a little bit, or has it always been that kind of a place?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think that there has really been a visionary so far at this point that wanted to turn the property into like, you know, a location for events. We mentioned it a few times, but nobody really wants to be an events manager. I think that it really stems more from just wanting to bring music and culture to the area. We enjoy sort of creating an opportunity for something different to happen. You know, if we made money at it someday, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. This being year 7, we are aiming at breaking even. You know, So that's obviously not the primary goal.
Yeah.
We don't have sponsors and that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's a huge operation, right? I mean, you're coordinating the venue itself, the land. I mean, you're working on bringing these bands and musical talent together. I mean, we're not talking about folks who, you know, just picked up a guitar for an open mic night. I mean, these are folks who are coming in from around the region, around the country, to be a part of this. And then you have people camping out, and you have bathrooms, and you have vendors. So, I mean, it's this huge logistical undertaking. Do you have a background, or do the folks you're doing this with have a background in organizing events like this? Like, how did you get to be doing this and do it for 7 years?
Well, you know, there is a lot of organization involved, definitely. You know, I mean, I think that most people come out and they see, you know, we have each year, you know, 6 or 7 different types of bands from all different genres, regional, you know, some national. We've got a really good dancehall reggae DJ who is hosting this year in between acts. So he'll be playing music and sort of hosting the event. He's from out of Austin, Texas, a good friend of ours. So he's, you know, we're flying him up here for that. We've got bands out of near Chicago, Columbus, Cincinnati. So wow. We bring them in from all over. I think most people that come out, you know, they see the bands and they really enjoy it. And we don't want to sort of, you know, beleaguer them with, is that a word, beleaguer?
Sure.
I think it is a word.
Now. Yeah.
We don't want them to be too aware of the, you know, the whole process that goes on behind everything. But I mean, it really is like insurance. We're paying for the sound guys. We actually bought a stage last year, a new stage.
Awesome.
Which is really cool. It looks like a giant Pringle, sort of a cross between a spaceship and a Pringle. I don't know if you came out last year at all, but
I didn't see it last year.
Okay.
But at the end of the event, can we all eat the Pringle? I mean, is it like an edible stage?
No, we paid a lot of money for this Pringle. You can't eat it.
Because if it's sitting there, like kind of conjuring the image of Pringles in people's minds for the whole time, it could be a little rough at the end.
You know, it did occur to me just now that maybe we should get Pringles as a sponsor.
I think that's a clear path to financial gain on your part. So
you are a genius. I think that's a great idea, actually.
So the event is described on your website as a non-political, non-religious, open-minded, family-friendly event. Say a little bit more about like what people should expect when they come out. Like what does that mean? What do those phrases mean? Like what kind of experience do you intend people to have? Who's going to enjoy this event the most?
The first couple of years we did it, we aimed for just anybody that would come out. The event that we're really trying to promote is, when we say family friendly, basically we don't want to create an event where people want to punch each other in the face.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. So what that means is, you know, we're not hosting, hard rock or heavy metal or, you know, aggressive music that is going to create that kind of event. We want to have, we want to host music that doesn't usually get to be presented around here. We're shooting for, reggae, funk, world music, jam, improvisational, electronic, you know, jazz influenced rock. We usually have bluegrass. This year we don't have a bluegrass band, but we have some other really amazing. We do have an improvisational group that has a violin player as the lead.
Okay.
Which is going to be super cool. They're called Fresh Hops.
Nice. I think I saw mention of a psychedelic fiddle. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that could be some borderline bluegrass or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're, you know, it's, you have to look them up.
Yeah.
But it's basically, I guess, you know, I'm fully unprepared for this question, but just off the top of my head, I guess I would say that we're not trying to push an agenda, mm-hmm. I guess is what we're trying to say with that. We're not trying to promote any politics, any religion. We're trying to just be open to people that want to come and make the event what it will be. How's that for a non-specific answer? That's, is that diplomatic enough for you?
No, that's great. So in past years, at the end of the event, like what kinds of things have people said to you about the event and the experience they've had? Like what feedback do you hear about it from years past?
Well, you know, I think when we first started, a lot of people were sort of saying, well, we have, you know, we've never seen an event like this in Richmond and we're not quite sure what to think of it. Mm. And one of the benefits of having done it for a few years is that we're starting to mature and figure out, you know, who we want coming out to our event, or rather, I should say, our audience is figuring out who we are. Mm-hmm. And so there are people starting to pop up and volunteer their own time. So last year, for example, we had a kids camp where volunteers did, you know, face painting and tie dyeing for kids. And it was super fun. And that was their own initiative. And so I guess that it's still evolving and developing, and we're excited to see what people are going to come up with.
And it sounds like you're really inviting people to shape it and make it what they want it to be. And, you know, by the different vendors you have come out and just the experiences people create for themselves, because they're camping, right? I mean, they're sort of living there with you for a little bit. And so it's not just a pop in, watch a show, and then, you know, get in the car and go. It's like it's a more immersive experience, which lends itself to maybe some more richness and engagement than your typical musical concert. Does that sound?
Yeah,
fair?
Sure. Yeah. So this, you know, I'm not sure how familiar you are with like festival culture, but there's a big movement and has been for 20 years, a sort of a resurgence, even more so in the last 10 years, of huge festivals around the country, you know, really prospering. Like, let's see, what's the one around here? Bonnaroo, mm-hmm. is like, where is that? Down in Tennessee, yeah. I think. Right. And there are a couple of big electronic festivals. There's one up in like Detroit. I think Electric Forest is up near Michigan somewhere, in mm-hmm. Michigan maybe. And, you know, we went to like Burning Man out west a number of years. And the festival culture is like totally different than a one-off event where you go, you know, you may one-off event, you go to a theater and, you know, the show starts at 10 and is done by midnight and you leave and go home. And, yeah. and you know, we're sort of splitting the difference. You know, I think if we aimed to be the next Burning Man, we would fail miserably, you know, cause that's not what Richmond is about, you know?
Well, in the fire code, I mean, the fire code alone would be problematic.
Yeah. But. Well, this year with all the rain, I don't think anything's right. going to be catching
Steaming
on fire.
Steaming man. Yeah. Possible. Yeah.
It's going to be a little soggy, yeah. soggy man.
Yeah. Not quite as appealing in the promotional materials, but
yeah. The yeah. Midwest soggy man.
So, I mean, you moved back to town recently from after spending a whole bunch of time out west in, you know, what is a fairly rich cultural area, Portland, Oregon. What's your impression of where Richmond is at right now in its music scene, its art scene, its culture scene? Like, what kind of experience are you having, and how does putting on this event change for you now that you live back in Richmond again?
Yeah, well, you know, I think leaving Richmond was really, really important for me, because growing up, I sort of saw Richmond as just this dump. Hmm. And then I left Richmond and everything was more, you know, evolved and different and more exciting. And Richmond sort of stayed in that stasis in my brain. And I always interpreted Richmond as, you know, remembered Richmond as what it was when I was growing up. But in reality, you know, if we really want to get down to it, it's not really backwards. It's just behind, hmm. you know, I mean, it's not that Richmond doesn't change and that Richmond doesn't have things going on. It's just on a slightly smaller scale and it's a little bit slower to change. And so coming back to Richmond, you know, when we have two breweries now in Richmond, mm-hmm. and one just popped up in Liberty,
yep.
which I don't know if you've been down there yet.
Not yet, no.
But the Norris Brew Pub, shout out to those guys for brewing a very good IPA.
Nice.
I'm impressed. You know, just the fact that when I came back, things had changed.
Yeah.
Really opened my eyes up to sort of being optimistic, or I guess keeping my expectations in line with what's going on here, in the fact that it's just a little slower to change. And the great thing about it is that, you know, if you want to actually do something and create something around here, you can do that and be a part of the game without competing with 800,000 billion other people trying to do exactly the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it really strikes me that doing, like, the change that you talked about as being kind of slow and happening on a smaller scale, like, that does mean that someone who's willing to put themselves out there and, like, make an effort and try something out, like, the leverage or just the amplification of their efforts is so much bigger in a smaller community. And so you can put on an event, like you said, that in some other part of the world might be seen as very small and very, like, just an amateur effort. And for our area, like, it's an amazing thing. It's like this professional, musical, cultural event that is available at a very low cost to people living in the region. And
yeah, that's right. And that's amazing. And I think people are receptive to that, you know. And, you know, you're comparing it to Portland, where in Portland, there's so much going on that people get numb.
Yeah.
To any effort that people put out. So it's really, really difficult to get anybody's attention. Whereas it's nice around here to see that people want to support you in creating something, or, you know, having an event like this. We get a lot of support and a lot of people that are just happy that there is sort of a camping, good family style event that hosts, you know, sort of atypical music for the area. And I think people are really appreciative of that. It's nice to have that feedback.
So it's August 22nd. It's $20 in advance online, or $25 at the door. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that per person, per carload? How's that work?
That is per person.
Okay.
So you can save $5 if you buy online, or buy ahead of time. We actually have some folks around here that prefer paper tickets. So.
And I'll tell you, I went camping recently and I paid more than that just to, you know, have a campsite and be there. So that price for camping plus musical events plus access to vendors who are coming from all around, that's pretty amazing. Is there anything else that you want people who might be listening to this to know about Prophets Fest or other things related to your efforts in the area?
I just wanted to say that, you know, if there's anybody listening to this that sparks their interest and they want to join in, or they want to figure out a way of contributing or having their own camp, maybe a theme camp, or bring their own instruments and have a jam around the campfire, or in whatever way they want to contribute, that they should feel free to contact us online, you know, get on the Facebook page, or, you know, just give us a call or just come out and contribute. You don't have to ask, as long as it's in the spirit of what we're trying to do. We wholly welcome anybody that wants to join in. So, you know, that's just what I want to push out there and let people know.
Awesome. It's Nick Green. It's Prophets Fest, August 22nd, south of Richmond, very close by, very accessible. We'll put links to the website and everything else you need to know. Nick, thanks for coming by and talking to us about the event. I hope it's a great one.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I appreciate your time.